Office is located just steps from the beach on A1A Beach Boulevard, just south of the St. Augustine Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in St. Mary's at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to hearing your dialogue and input on the issue as we speak today. We'll have a very special guest that we'll introduce in just a moment. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion. Lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We look forward to your input today, as we do each and every day. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 17:17, the word of God makes a declaratory statement, "Thy word is truth." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And Psalm 117, verse 2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, truth is absolutely needful today, perhaps as no other time in the history of our nation. I go back to the statement by the secularist George Orwell. George Orwell says, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We find that to be absolutely true, if I can use that term today. It is true. We find those in political circles and the theological, doctrinal, biblical circles that if you stand in a group of people and you speak the truth, there's an absolute rejection and a resentment of the truth. So may I say today, it is needful and necessary for us to stand on truth. Truth still matters, regardless of what side of the theological fence you're on, regardless of the matter of what side of the political fence that you stand on. Truth still matters. And may I just do a little parenthetical footnote. Truth still matters in relationship to the office of the president. And by the way, tomorrow I'll be covering the stepping down of Joe Biden. What does it mean? How do we respond to it as Christians, conservatives, and patriots? What should we expect for the next 90 days leading up to the November the 5th election? Remember, that is a discussion that we'll have in depth on tomorrow's broadcast, and we'll look forward to your dialogue and discussion on it. But ladies and gentlemen, I go back to a statement made by the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. He said America's decline is based on the death of truth. Let me just read you a portion of Senator DeMint's statement. "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity." And ladies and gentlemen, I can say firsthand that there is a problem. There's a problem with truth in general. In fact, the latest survey shows that 55% of the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% believe that there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, their declaratory statement is this: each person determines their own version of truth. ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me say before, and at the risk of redundancy, let me say again, a half-truth is a whole lie. A half-truth is a whole lie. You cannot bifurcate truth. You cannot take part of truth and call it truth. It is a whole lie. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made a powerful statement. In fact, as he was being burned at the stake, he screamed out, "Truth shall prevail." But one of the major statements that he made during his lifetime was, he said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And that's my mantra on this broadcast each and every day. As Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, we need to seek the truth, learn it, live it, tell it, and be willing to stand and defend it even at death. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, as we think about the issue today, we need to understand where we stand in relationship to the political, social, economic agenda that is before us. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of brands like Honda and Echo. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. They have the Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of the Beltway of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Listen, there is a benchmark and identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a Old Glory, the U.S. flag, flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll hang on there for a few moments, I've got a brief monologue today. And after the brief monologue, we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call in and join in the dialogue and discussion that we're talking about today. Our responsibility to vote is more evident today than any other time in recent history. Our responsibility to vote is more evident today than any other time in recent history. That's what I'll be speaking on today. That's what we'll be inviting you to call and join the dialogue and discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that our nation is now facing what I call a constitutional crisis. I believe it's a constitutional crisis that I've not seen in my lifetime, and I'm still under 100 years old. But I want to tell you that the lame duck presidency, the disabled president, one that's completely inept, and the vice president that's in office, ladies and gentlemen, we've just witnessed the Joe Biden decision to step down as a candidate for the 2024 presidential election. That's about 90 days out. 90 days. And now the Democratic Marxist Communist Party will meet in August to have an open primary to determine who will replace Joe Biden. There's already an infighting, already a group of people behind the scenes that's deciding that they're going to in some way disenfranchise the approximately 15 million Democratic voters that have already cast their ballot in the primary, making Joe Biden the candidate. But ladies and gentlemen, they're not concerned about the historicity of America. They're not concerned about the constitutional republic that we're in. We're not in a democracy. We're in a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. All of that is being rejected. All of that is being spurned, if you will, with no value. As the world now watches, Joe Biden has officially dropped out. He will not be. By the way, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I've said for 3.5 years on this broadcast, you can go back and pull up the blogs, and you can find that I've said hundreds of times that Joe Biden would not be the candidate on the November 5th, 2024 ballot. I've said that over and over again, and it's come to pass. And the question is now, who will be the candidate of the Democratic Party for the top of the ticket? Will it be Kamala Harris? Will it be Gavin Newsom? Will it be Kamala Harris herself? Or will it be Gavin Newsom? Or will it be Hillary Clinton? Or is it possible that somebody else will come to the forefront and become the candidate? Will the Democrats have a chaotic convention? I believe the Democrats will go back to exactly what we witnessed taking place in 1968 when there was a major chaotic convention taking place. And they fought and battled, and I believe that's what we'll see in the convention for the Democratic Party as it is coming up. There will be a fight for the top of the ticket, ladies and gentlemen. Tomorrow, we're going to examine all of these questions about the ineptness of the presidential race. We'll talk about the question about who will be on the top of the ticket. Also, on tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to examine what really happened in the president's rally, President Donald J. Trump, when there was an attempted assassination. What really took place? Ladies and gentlemen, the recent events surely are an example for the need for us to vote in the August primary and in the November 5th general election. The August primary and the November the 5th general election, we need to vote. Listen, I'm concerned when we discover, based on statistical data, that in the 2020 election, 40 million Christians did not go to the polls and vote. 40 million. And I understand in the 2020 election, multitudes recognized the need but yet said, what's the use? The Republicans, the Democrats are going to postulate the candidate that they choose, that we have no real voice in it. Remember, as someone once said, all elections begin on the local level. All elections begin on the local level. Locally, ladies and gentlemen, we have school board races that's up. They're very important other areas that we'll be voting on. The November ballot will have 6 different constitutional amendments. I'm not going to talk about them today, but Amendment 3 and 4. If Amendment 3 and 4 on the ballot on November the 5th, if they pass, it will destroy the state of Florida. If the marijuana recreational use passes in Amendment 3, it will destroy the viability of families in the state of Florida. And Amendment 4, if it passes, which will allow murder by way of abortion, that will mean the state of Florida will become the murder capital of the nation after November 5th election. So it is my prayer, ladies and gentlemen, as I talk about it day by day by day, it is very important for us to recognize the things that are on the ballot and the need for us to vote. As Christians, as conservatives, ladies and gentlemen, I believe God's already provided us with the opportunity to determine the direction of our state, our nation, as we have the privilege to vote. I believe that God has already given us in the Scripture a very clear mandate. In Matthew 22:21, it says we're to render unto Caesar what's Caesar's and render unto God what's God's. We have, ladies and gentlemen, listen, we have two ultimate responsibilities. One is the responsibility we have as earthly citizens, and the other is the responsibility we have as kingdom citizens. As Christians, we need to recognize we have two citizenships. But ladies and gentlemen, here today, as we discuss one of the races that's important on a local level, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, let me remind you again, I've forgotten if I've told you, the telephone number is 904-831-0917, 803-0917. That's 904-803-0917. That telephone number, when you dial it, goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can have the opportunity to have the dialogue and discussion on the issue that we're speaking of today. We're talking about our responsibility to vote is evident now more than ever before. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest today to discuss the issues in relationship to a local vote. Millennial Gay, am I pronouncing that right?
Melina Gay.
I'll get it right in a minute. Melina Gay. Melina is the candidate for the committee woman for the state of Florida. Melina, thank you for being here. We're looking forward to what God is going to say and do in your campaign. Let me ask you to just take a minute. Many of our people perhaps have not heard of you, not talked with you, have not met you, And that's the purpose of the radio broadcast today. 803-0917, 904-803-0917. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. Melina is with us today. Tell us a little bit about, if you will, something about yourself and your background, your passion, your interest, etc. Take a few minutes to discuss that with our listeners.
Yes, sir. First, let me start off by just saying thank you for being bold and brave and allowing me to come on your radio show. I really appreciate it, and I think I have some stuff that is really going to shed some light on some local issues here in the county, and hopefully will give rise to people to start paying closer attention to what's going on. First of all, my name is Melina Gay, and I'm running for state committee woman. That election is August 20th. I am married to Mike Gay. He's our new city councilman that was elected in 2023.
Mike's doing a good job. I'm thankful for his seat on the city council.
Thank you, sir. He was the lone no vote on the stadium. Caught some flack from some people that were really pro-stadium, but he had some really good reasons, and it would behoove people to look into that a little closer. It's not that he didn't want growth and development. It was just a really bad deal, and he was looking out for the best interest of the constituents and taxpayers. So he's doing a great job. I'm proud of him. He is the owner of M. Gay Constructors. Just want to clear that up. A lot of people think it's W.W. Gay, and it's not, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. A lot of money behind that one.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
So, personally, I'm a mom. I have three children. Two of them should be listening right now, Hunter and Shelby. I'm a grandmother. I have a new grandchild, Nathan. He's 4 months old. My dad, Ron Beverly, he's a retired Air Force veteran. Daddy, if you're listening, I love you. I lost my mom in 2017, so I'm pretty much the matriarch of my family right now. I was raised in a Southern Baptist religion. My grandma was my Sunday school teacher.
Amen. That's a good connection.
Yeah.
Melina, take just one moment. I believe I have Blake on the line. Blake, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes. Good afternoon. Good morning, Dr. Youngblood, and good morning, Melina. I just want to make an observation here. And Dr. Youngblood, you and I have walked and fought side by side in this battles for 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And I want to emphasize something, and that goes back to what you were talking about with truth. And that is, what I have seen over and over again is good Christian people have fallen away. And in their falling away, they've given power and impetus to the adversaries of truth. And Melina is standing strong. I'm thankful for Melina, and I'm thankful for Michael. That they are standing strong, that they are withering the onslaught and the attack of the establishment, and the fact that the establishment Republicans in Jacksonville have pulled people of apparent faith into their fold and are using their righteousness to pursue their goals. And We need to be aware of that, and we need to stand up for Melina, and we need to stand up for Nathan Toko. We have a responsibility to our faith. We have a responsibility to God to stand up in the place and do the difficult work that needs to be done. And we have to recognize that sometimes people who would like to walk side by side with us have fallen away. But we have to keep our eyes on the truth, and keep our eyes on the Bible. And Melina, I just lift you up. I lift you up. You know that we know each other so well, and I love both you and your husband. And you all are warriors. You're God's warriors in the public square.
Blake, take just a moment. And let me ask you a question. I'll make an observation, and then Melina can respond to it if she likes. One of the things that I've found so often in the political arena as well as the spiritual arena is the lack of understanding that the Scripture says in the little book of Amos, how can two walk together unless we're first agreed? There must be a recognition and understanding of the primary things in society today that affect society, affect our community, will affect our nation, state and nation, and yea, even the globe. And yet it seems to be a difficulty to get the sharp minds of conservatives together that would stand together regardless of what the outcome may be. I believe it's time that we do that. What are your thoughts on that? How, if I can ask a question, yes, we have fought a number of battles on the same side, and I'm thankful for that. How, in your opinion, do we bring things together? For example, with Melina's race, how do we bring things together to get people to understand the importance of what is being done and the end result if we do not vote? What are your thoughts? What are your suggestions? What are your admonitions to our listeners today?
Well, first of all, we have to recognize that we have to be in unity in terms of principle. We have to understand that principles take precedence over power. God works with the remnant. God has always conquered our adversaries with a smaller group of people, and it's always been a smaller group of people have understood His word. So we have to go forward understanding what the truth is, and we have to communicate what the truth is. But what I think so much is happening is that people are thinking that they have to give up their principles for a win. The reality is that God makes everything happen. It's God's strength that brings the victory. And that means we stand on the principles, and we don't give up our own personal His principles. We don't give up His principles for a win. There's a huge notion within many of the faithful that the only thing that's important is to win. And the fact of the matter is that's how Satan and that's how our adversaries are getting a hold of us by having people focus on. The win, but not doing it the right way.
Blake, what you're saying is absolutely correct, and I've spoken about that thousands of times. I've preached on that thousands of times in less than 100 years now. And what you're speaking about is compromise. Compromise. In fact, just for the benefit of our listeners today, when you hear one side, whether it's Republican or Democrat, say, well, I'm just going to reach across the aisle. What they're verbally saying, what they're visibly saying, what they're literally saying is, I'm willing to compromise. And I think it's time we stop compromise in every area and every walk of life and every part of what's done politically, spiritually, doctrinally, theologically, and biblically. Blake, you're right on target, and I'm thankful for your insight and for your call today. Thank you so much for your call. Keep praying. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh, the scripture says. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're talking with Melina Gay today. She is running for the Florida Committeewoman seat. Melina, if you would take a moment and tell our listeners something about your professional background. You've spoken about your family and your family life and your background with family. What about your professional background? What are the things that our listeners need to understand about you?
I began working probably around 1990. I started working for a law firm. I worked for Cox and Mitchell, Hank Cox and Scott Mitchell. I believe Scott Mitchell is a judge now. Really got interested in the legal field and ended up going into court reporting school. I graduated from court reporting school with as a certified court reporter on 9/11.
That's where you sit there with the little
machine. Yes,
machine.
Sir. Yes, sir. But it was 9/11 was my first day on the job, and I was on the 22nd floor of the River Place Towers when that plane started, crashed into the building. I thought that would be the end of my career.
Mm-hmm. Starting and the beginning and the ending.
It marked. It left a mark. Yes, sir. Beyond that, I've been reporting. I opened up my own court reporting agency in 2009. I had a mediation center, and I ran that out of Bernardino. Due to the market and the way things were going, I decided to just go as an independent contractor, and I just basically worked as a freelance contractor, court reporting. I've worked in the federal courthouses too. Had a focus on doing deposition work, mostly civil. I didn't like necessarily doing trial work. Money was in the depositions for me. but it was a great career, and it gave me an opportunity to learn a lot about a lot of different issues, and I saw the way attorneys work. I understood the language, the importance of reading and the importance of law and how they apply it to situations. Beyond that, when it comes to my political qualifications and experience. I actually was my husband's campaign manager.
So we can look back now and say that was successful. That's good.
It was successful. But it was something that I saw that needed to happen. I realized that our biggest opposition was going to be people within our own party. My husband did not go through the proper channels that we learned with the way you have to
do. In other words,
it.
He didn't get anointed by the higher up.
He didn't take the ring.
That's right.
He did not take the ring.
Yeah, I understand
and,
that.
Yeah.
But tell us something. I don't want to interrupt, but just thinking, many people listening may not have any idea of what a committee woman for the state of Florida does. What does that seat require? What do you do? What's the importance of it?
To be completely honest with you, I didn't know what the state committee woman did either until a few months ago when I was asked to run for this seat. My first response was, no thank you, because I thought it was a seat within the Republican executive committee. I don't know if you've been into the REC meetings before, but it's turned into a very uncomfortable situation. You can see the divide in our party very apparently in there. There's the grassroots, and then there's the establishment, and then there's people in between that don't understand what the heck is going on. And the reason for that is because there's a one-sided narrative that gets preached from the podium. Behind them, there's no... the communication and the understanding and talking of issues, it gets swept under the rug. Anyone who questions the things that are going on that are unethical and against party rules gets accused of being divisive. It's not a good feeling. So I thought that that's what it was. After researching the position, I realized that the state committee woman is a liaison between the Republican Party of Florida and the County Republican Executive Committee, otherwise known as the Duval GOP. They serve as advisors and voting members on the County Republican Board and Republican Executive Committee. The duties require travel throughout the state to attend quarterly meetings, and they're there with the state leadership, and they strategize together. There's no pay or compensation with this position, so why would I want this position? What happens is they are elected by an inter-party countywide election for a four-year term. They are the only positions that are not filled internally by the REC. The state committee woman and committee man are the highest ranking party officials in the county. So what that means is that if I see something going on inside the REC that is wrong, which happens quite a lot, I could stand up and stop it. I could bring it to light. That hasn't happened so far. And all the times I've been to the REC, I've never seen anyone stand up in those positions. And they're great people. I just wonder if they even realize they have the authority.
Well, I can say this, and maybe it's good or bad, and some listeners may not agree. I stopped going to the REC meetings years ago because of what was presented and what was taking place was not the full facts. If I can just be that, shortcut everything else, cut through the chase, and make that statement. Melinda, for the benefit of our listeners, would you tell us about the current status of the Duval County Republican Executive Committee? What's the status in your view, and why should we be concerned about it?
I think that we need to be aware. In 2012 and 2016, Duval County voted for the Republican for the presidential election. In 2020, we voted for Biden. We just elected a Democratic mayor. We turned blue. Duval is now Blueval. This is one example of failed GOP leadership in the county. You might hear that, you know, the Republican Party touting that they have closed the gap between the Democrat-Republican Party and the between the Democrats and the Republicans. Fact is we have 5,000 fewer Republicans than we did in 2021. We have 35,000 fewer registered Democrats than we did in 2021. And the only party that has had significant gains is the MPAs and the others. The reason that we've lost 35,000 Democrats is because our supervisor of elections, Jerry Holland, has been cleaning the voter rolls.
Well, one of the things that I think we need to recognize is the imperative need for this election that we as Christians, conservatives, and people stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen, and go to the polls and vote. And so, ladies and gentlemen, it is imperative for us to understand that the future of our city, our state, and our nation is in our hands. what we do in this election, I believe, will make the determination of where we go and the destiny of our city, state, and nation. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the top of the hour news.
Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.